walk through heaven with God and get to spend every day for the rest of eternity with Him. Today, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And we'll be in verse number 7. How many of you enjoy technology? How many of you would say that? You enjoy using technology? It's a tool that you get to use. How many of you enjoy it? How many of you say, you know what, I could really care less about technology? Not a huge fan. I don't understand how it works. I don't like it. All right. Personally, I do enjoy technology. It's a great tool, and sometimes, honestly, I probably use it a little bit too much. It's really easy to get distracted by one of these and have it on all the time and buzzing and getting emails and always checking it. But there's one kind of fatal flaw to technology, it seems like. And it comes at those crucial moments when you need something off of your technology, and all of a sudden you get a warning, and it says 10% battery. And if you're like me, there are points and times in my life when, for the life of me, I cannot remember where I put my spare charger. And so, inevitably, I'm away from home. I don't have a charger with me. My phone's about to die, and I'm relying on it for like directions or something, and it's about to die. Well, thankfully, I ended up finding my way because I'm here today. But, you know, oftentimes we rely on this technology, but and it makes life easier for us at times. But then there comes those times when it's about to die and we're about to lose the capability of using that technology. You know, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. We need to learn to be able to be plugged in to our source of power. And far too often, we walk through our daily lives disconnected from it. And when we disconnect ourselves from our power source, our battery starts to dwindle. And eventually, if we don't get back to that source of power and we don't plug ourselves back in, our spirituality kind of dies off. The longer we are away from our source of strength, God, through time, with Him in His Word and in His presence through prayer, the more our spiritual battery drains. And when we do bigger things and when we engage in the work of God at a deeper, more strenuous level, we start to drain more quickly. You know, it seems like the more effort that we put into something, the more excited we get about something, especially in the work of God, the faster that level drains, even more the reason that we need to make sure that we're plugged in to the power of God. And you know, the sad thing about it is, when our battery level starts to drain spiritually, it seems like the devil's just right there to squeeze his way in and start attacking. But that's just the way the devil is. He's not going to attack us when we're the strongest and when we're the closest to God. Because then in those times, our reactions are going to be much quicker. Hey, God, I need your help. But then when we allow our battery, our strength in God to dwindle, when we aren't plugged into His Word, those are the times we are the most vulnerable, and it is the easiest for us to make poor decisions. 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, 'Art thou that, my lord Elijah?' And he answered him, 'I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here.' And he said, 'What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord liveth, thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee.' And when they said, 'He is not there,' he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, 'Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here.' And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? In this passage, we see the interaction between Elijah, the prophet of God, and Obadiah. During this time frame, the king of Israel was Ahab, and he was a very wicked king. And his wife Jezebel was even more wicked than he was. She had all of the prophets of God put to death. Only 100 escaped, only because Obadiah was used of God to hide them. They were able to escape. They knew Elijah had gotten away, and they wanted him dead so badly that they searched far and wide for him. He was the most wanted, and Elijah knew it. Part of the reason he was wanted was that he had spoken the prophecy regarding the drought that Israel was facing at this time. The reason God was angry with Israel was that King Ahab and Queen Jezebel had turned the children of Israel into idolatry, and they were worshiping the false idol Baal instead of God. But you know what? They weren't upset at the sins that they were facing. Instead, they were getting upset at the man who God sent as a messenger to tell them that they were wrong. So at this time, they're all upset at Elijah for telling them that God is upset with them. But they're the ones that caused this drought to be brought upon them. They were the reason that God allowed this drought to come. But instead, in the midst of their sin, they chose to blame the messenger. So Elijah, he knew that he was a dead man if he was going to be caught in Israel. But you know what? God sent him anyways. He sent him to speak to Ahab. So Elijah, he speaks to Obadiah, and he says, go to Ahab and tell him that I'm here. And now Obadiah's like, what, have I sinned? Are you sending me to Ahab to have me killed? Because I'm hiding all of these prophets from him. They are looking everywhere for you. If I go tell him, God's just going to like whisk you away somewhere where I don't know. And Ahab's going to be mad at me for telling him that you're here. So Obadiah, he's afraid for his life. But Elijah, he promises him he'll be there and that everything is going to work out okay. Elijah is bold right here. If we were to take a look at his spiritual battery life percentage, it'd be like topped out at 100%. He's ready. He's ready with the command of God to go. He's all charged up and he's ready. Elijah, he meets with the king and tells him to gather the 450 prophets of Baal. They're going to have a showdown. There's going to be a showdown to prove who was the prophet of the true God and who were the prophets of the false God. So they gathered them all together around at Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 20, we're going to see where all of this unfolds. It says, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. You see, they were notorious when they offered sacrifices to Baal. They'd sneak a little bit of fire underneath the altar, so that when they offered the sacrifice, the altar would light up on fire as if they had a real God. But Elijah's saying here, look, we're not going to do anything shady. We're not trying to trick anybody. No fire underneath. You guys don't do it. I'm not going to do it. We're going to prove who is the one true God. Verse number 24 says, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them and down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. In this interaction between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, we see that God proves himself to be the one and only true God. Even to the point where the prophets of Baal were willing to cut themselves and throw themselves upon this altar to show and to prove that Baal was God, but nothing happened. No matter how loud they screamed, no matter how much they injured themselves bodily, Baal wouldn't answer. Because Baal is not God. But then Elijah, now it's his turn. So he gets up, he rebuilds the altar to the Lord, and not only does he build the altar, but he also has them pour water on it. Now, do things burn very well when they're wet? No, they don't burn well. It's difficult to get wet wood to burn. It just doesn't really happen. So Elijah, to prove that God is who he says he is, they pour a bunch of water on it. Then he has them do it again. And after they do it the second time, he has them do it again. And now this altar is soaking wet so much that there's a trench around the altar that is also filled with water. So now Elijah, he calls out to God. And not only does God send down fire to consume the sacrifice, it also consumed all the water. God proves himself to be the one and true God. And all the children of Israel, everyone that was there, they bowed down before God and they said, "You are God. You are who you say you are." They turned from their sin. They are turning back to God and realizing what wrong they had done. So now that the children of Israel have turned to God from their sins, Elijah now tells them to gather up all the prophets of Baal, and they have them all killed. Elijah, at this point in time in his life, man, he is on fire for God. He's ready. He's pumped up. He's fully charged and ready to go. This was a huge victory. All 450 of the prophets of Baal were killed. God won. God gave Elijah the victory that day. God swallowed up the sacrifice which had been drenched in water. There was no doubt who the real God was. Can you imagine how awesome you would have felt if that were to be you in that situation? Where you are one of a very small handful of people who still believed in God. And then you put God to the test. And you prove to everyone around you that my God is real. Man, at that point in your life, you'd just be on the spiritual cloud nine. You'd just be pumped up and ready to go, so excited and on fire for the things of God because God had proved himself to be real in your life. And at that point, you feel like nothing could let you down. You think, after seeing that, after being a part of that, there would be nothing that could ever shake your faith again. But oftentimes that isn't the case. We also see that to be true in the life of Elijah. Man, he's charged. He's at 100% spiritually. He's ready to go. But we're going to see that he starts to get drained a little bit. He doesn't stay as connected to the power of God as he should in his life. Jezebel was angry. I mean, all the work that she had done to bring her own ideas into the country of Israel, into Israel, after all the work she's done, now all of her prophets are dead. So not only is she mad at Elijah, she is furious. He brought on the drought from God. Now he's slain all of the prophets of Baal. She is angry, and now she's threatening Elijah's life. But instead of standing strong in the midst of victory, we see that Elijah ran. He ran and he hid. He was so afraid at the threatenings of Jezebel that he prayed to God and asked God to take his own life. What happened? Elijah was all charged up, ready to go, ready to serve God, ready to prove God to be real in his own life and to be real in the lives of all the children of Israel. But now we see that he's so afraid that he just wants God to end his life just like that. We see that Elijah had disconnected himself from the power of God. And when we do that, we're removing ourselves from the will of God to the point where we have no power. We have no ability at that point to have the power of God in our lives because we have disconnected ourselves. There have been many times in my life, sadly, that in one way or another, my phone became disconnected from the charger. And it seems like those were the times that I needed it the most. I remember there are several times in Bible college that I'd get home from work at like 2 in the morning. I worked like 2 to 2 just about every day. And I'd get home, or actually get back to the dorms. I'd get into bed. I'd plug my phone in. And somehow, some way, I would like either knock the phone off the charger, the plug would come unplugged from the wall, and then all of a sudden it'd be like light shining in my eyes, and I'm like, it's too late. I was late for class. There were multiple occasions where that happened to me because my phone had become disconnected. The power I was relying on to cause my alarm to go off in the morning was disconnected. There was no power, so there was no alarm. Well, in our lives, if we have no power from God, then we're not going to see any growth. We are going to be afraid. And on top of all of that, not only are we going to be disconnected from the power of God in our lives, like I said earlier, most of the times that we see the attacks from the devil on our lives, the times when we're disconnected from the power of God. You know, I firmly believe that the devil attacks us, the enemy attacks us, on the heels of great victories for God. For one, having a great victory for God, while it's exciting, while it's motivating, it's also sometimes exhausting. And it seems like that moment that we take that sigh of relief, we got through it. There's something knocking at the door, ready to try to drag you down. That's why it's so important that we stay connected to the Word of God, that we stay in the Word, that we read His Word, that we listen to good preaching, that we hold each other accountable, because if we don't have the power of God on our lives, when the devil comes knocking, we're not going to have anything to defend ourselves. Because when we're tired and susceptible, the devil wants to make us feel like we're not capable of what God is calling us to do next. You see, God wants to do great things in our lives. He doesn't just have one victory in mind for you. He doesn't just have one victory in mind for me. You see, the way God sees it, He wants us to have victory after victory after victory in our lives, and He wants us to be successful. He wants to bless us. But if we don't stay connected through everything, then we're going to start getting tripped up. We're not going to have the energy, the power from God to defend ourselves. You know, Satan didn't want Jesus to fulfill His purpose on the cross, right? So when did Satan try to tempt Jesus? It was during the time that when Jesus was fasting. He was fasting for 40 days. That's a long time to go without food, but He was fasting, ready, staying close, trying to commune with God, pray with God, and now He's physically weak. So what does the devil do? He tries to sneak in and he tries to tempt Jesus. Jesus is God. And Satan thought that even, like, hey, yeah, He is God, but He's weak right now. He is physically weak. If there is any time to go in and try to trip Him up, now's the time. This is my opportunity. So that's what the devil tried to do. He tried to trip Jesus up. But how do we see that He reacted? Jesus reacted to Satan with the Word of God. That is how Jesus, our God, decided to defend himself against Satan, was using the very words that God said. He laid the example for us when we are weak, when we are struggling, when we are being attacked by the enemy. What else should we turn to but the Word of God? You know, those moments that we try to take our focus off of what God has intended for us, and we try to put it on our circumstances, we try to put it on ourselves, those are the moments that we've unplugged. Because when we take our focus off of God and we take our reliance off of God, those are the moments that we're weakest. You know, Satan isn't a weakling. He's strong. He's stronger than any of us on our own. And that's why we have to rely on the power of God to do right, to stay faithful, to be blessed of God. It's to stay connected to his power. Because if we disconnect ourselves, then we're missing the very power that we need to put up those blockades against the devil. We have to remember to remain connected to the Word of God. Jesus, he was tired, he was weak, so the enemy attacked. You know, the devil doesn't learn new tricks. Every time he gets us, it's when we're exhausted, it's when we're weak, it's when we're tired. Those are the times that he strikes, and the times that he strikes the hardest. Satan didn't want Jesus to fulfill his purpose on the cross. And you know what? When we achieve great spiritual victories for God, you know what the devil thinks? I don't want that to happen again. I don't want them to achieve another great victory. They're tired after that victory. They fought hard for that victory. Now they're weak. Now they're exhausted. This is my chance to get in there, to discourage them. This is an opportunity that the devil has to discourage you and to get into your head and to convince you that after this great victory that God's let you down. But in reality, God doesn't let us down. God wants us to achieve another great victory. He doesn't want us to go through another valley. He wants us to stay strong and stay close to his word. But then when we let the devil get in there and get into our thoughts and start to convince us, to lie to us that God isn't going to stay faithful after this victory, then we've let him in. And now that he's in, he's going to get you to stumble. God remains faithful. You know, who controls time? The creator of time would be the controller of time, right? And that's God. God controls the time. He's not confined to our, I guess, perception of time. You know, he's already lived in yesterday, he's already lived in today, and he's already lived in tomorrow. So if he's already in tomorrow, he's not bound by time, then he knows everything that we're going to go through. And so as Christians, if we aren't remaining plugged into the Word of God, remaining close to God, how are we going to get through tomorrow? If he's already been there, he's already done that, then shouldn't he be the one that we turn to guide us through that? You know, coming to a new area, all right, being in a place that you've never been in before, what do you normally rely on? You normally rely on maybe a map or GPS, your phone, or maybe directions from someone who's been there before. And when we don't rely on one of those things and we're in a place that we've never been before, it's pretty easy to get lost. It's easy to get off the course. You know what? God's been there before. He knows where to guide us. He knows what's best for us. He has a great plan and a will for our lives. He wants to bless us. But if we aren't heeding his leading, if we aren't heeding his call, then you know what? We're going to get lost. We're going to get disconnected from him. You know, maybe you've been there. You had a great victory. It seems like everything's just going just the way that it's supposed to be. Something great was happening for God, only to find yourself failing in fear and fatigue shortly thereafter. You know, the enemy's here to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what? He got the better of you on that day. But you know what? We don't have to stay there. No, we aren't defined by the defeats that we have. If you're a born-again believer, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we aren't defined by our defeats. We're defined by what God says we are. And what does he say we are? We're redeemed. We're holy now because of him. We live in him. He testifies of us. He stands before God and says, hey, they're paid for. They have victory in me. That is what defines us. That we are found in God. You know, if you were to say that there's a day that you felt the most vulnerable, just think about that for a moment. I think mine would be Monday. You know, sometimes it just seems like you got a case of the Mondays. And it's hard to get up in the morning. It seems like nothing goes right on Monday. It's just, sometimes Mondays just kind of stink, you know. You come from a great weekend and you wake up the next day and it's just right back at it. You know, we had a great day on Sunday. We heard a great message from Pastor. We're ready to go. We feel like, hey, you know what? I made a great decision for God last Sunday. I'm ready to go on Monday. And then Monday comes. And it seems like the furthest thing from our minds is the intended growth that we had to see for the next week. That's our furthest thought right now. Is what I learned just yesterday. It's gone. I've got some problems right now in my Monday that I've got to handle. And in those times when we've chosen to distance ourselves from what God is trying to teach us and trying to help us grow, when we start to distance ourselves from that, those are the moments that Satan wants to sneak in. God was trying to do something great in your life on Sunday, trying to bring about change in your life, trying to bring about growth in your life, and you're ready to make that change, and then Monday comes. Then Tuesday comes. Then Wednesday. Maybe you get a little shot in the arm on Wednesday, and you kind of get back up into it, and then Thursday. And Friday and Saturday. And before you know it, a whole week has gone by and you haven't experienced any growth. You know, God worked on your life. You felt the leading of God in your heart. Like, hey, I need to make some changes in my life. I need to grow. And by the next Sunday, it seems like nothing's changed. You know, that's because we've disconnected ourselves from the power of God. You know, it's easy to stay connected when you're fully charged and you're ready to go and you're hearing something directly from God. But then, you know, maybe Monday comes and we wake up late and we forget or put off reading our Bible. Maybe we get a little bit in just to check it off the list, but we didn't really spend time with God. You've disconnected. You've got no power. The battery's starting to drain. Tuesday rolls around and you're already behind because of Monday, and it seems like nothing's going your way and you haven't plugged back in yet. You haven't been able to recharge. You know, we have the ability to fend off the attacks from the enemy the same exact way that Jesus did. The same exact way that Elijah did. The same way that every great prophet or man or woman in the Bible did. It's through the power and the word of God. You know, I get to fend off the devil the same way that you can. It's because God gives us the power. But you know what? We're weak. And in our weakness, God is made strong. But we're not going to have the strength of God if we can't stay connected to Him. You know, Elijah, he had a great victory. He's ready to go. He's plugged in. He's on fire for God. It seems like nothing can hold him down. All the prophets of Baal have been slain. There's great victory in the lives of the children of Israel. They're turning back to God. But then the enemy attacks. And then rather than staying plugged in to the God that had just given him a great victory, Elijah allowed himself to become disconnected. Now the fear set in. The fight or flight mentality has set in. And you know what? Because he's disconnected from God, he doesn't have any power to fight. And all he could do at this time in his life is run and hide. Elijah has just now suffered a defeat. But you know what? We find that Elijah didn't allow the enemy to take him away from the calling of God completely. No, he ended up realizing, look, I've disconnected. I need to plug back in. I need to recharge. I need to get back with God. I need to rebuild that broken relationship, mend it back together, regain the strength of God in my life, and get back to work for Him. You may find yourself suffering spiritual defeats sometimes, even after major victories. You know what? It happens. But don't just hide. Don't cower away in fear. Don't give up. Get back with God. Get charged back up. Get back to being who God has created you to be.